Okay. Anyway, we have here like this. We have here a piece from Rav Zajcik, which is a very beautiful piece. So I just wanted to do it. First of all, it's beautiful because he says a hashkafa, he quotes an Eben Ezra, which regretfully I couldn't find, but I assume it must be somewhere if he quotes it, that says hashkafa that we said, I think, numerous times, but we never had a chazal to back it up. We just used to quote it the name of the Rosh Hashiva. That's out. So it's very nice that there's like a Beferish in Eben Ezra that says that hashkafa. And then he says a second hashkafa, which is very, very beautiful. So I want to maybe stop on the second hashkafa. And then we contrast it to the Chidush Yalev is somewhat similar, the same chazal. But okay. It says in last week's parsha that Rachel took the trophim and she put it in this bag, that the gum when she sat on it. So he has a kasha. Rashi says, why did he take the trophim? What does Rashi say? Because she, not that she wanted Avodah Zarah for herself, obviously she's a tzedekah, but she wanted to do a chesed to her father to get her father not to do Avodah Zarah. So she thought if she'd steal her father's Avodah Zarah, he would stop doing Avodah Zarah. You know, it's a little, he's not going to be so, he's laziness. He's not going to go get himself a new Avodah Zarah. Or until he goes around and gets a new Avodah Zarah. In the interim, he won't do Avodah Zarah, whatever. So he has a kasha. And he brings it, says that Gur Arye has a kasha. Really, I thought the Eben Ezra does ask the kasha. That if her purpose was that her father shouldn't do Avodah Zarah, she should have stolen it and destroyed it. Well, you know, take the Avodah Zarah and throw it in the river, burn it, smash it. Why is she putting it in, taking it with her when she's traveling? Right? That's his kasha. Right, the first paragraph. In the chayra, lama the cloud hechazika rochah tetrafim. Why she keep it? Hoyda la'avid osam miyad aydei sreifa. She should have burnt them. Israel benar, thrown in the river. Or the forest on ruach. Or she should have grinding them up. Okay, so he quotes an Eben Ezra. This is in one, right? Okay, the next paragraph. If it's that, well, it says, first it says the Gur Arye, acid, okay. But Eben Ezra Vizela Shai Omer. Now, this is a quote. I'm assuming it's, he it says it's a quote. I assume it's a quote. V'yei Shleimar. Shai Yedei Shetisrof Racho Tatrofim. If she would have burned it, that would give him mamish. Mamish means chashivas. Because it would appear like they have some kind of power. Right? Mamish pumfakir, though we would think. We would think that by taking the Avodah Zarah and smashing them, burning them, grinding them up, working really hard to get rid of it, smash it to smithereens, so you're showing that it is nothing, meaningless, worthless. Look, I'm working, I'm smashing it, I made dust out of it. Says him from Bakert. Rachel didn't want to smash it because then it would give it mamish. What's shot?
Or else, why would you care so much to break it?
Right, in other words, if it's so nothing, so why are you bothering with it? Why are you taking out so much anger? Why are you getting so upset and smashing it? It's a piece of garbage. Your father, you took it. He doesn't have it anymore. I don't know.
Well, she sleps it around for like the next.
No, she's just years, she's not gonna schlep around, but she's not doing anything with it. She's put it in a bag. Okay.
Okay,
maybe in Okinami she would if the opportunity came, but it didn't. It's not on her radar. It's not important. It's not important to destroy because that I have to destroy it. It's giving it chashiv. If it's convenient, just to drop it somewhere in a garbage bill, I'll drop it in a garbage bill.
Shouldn't she be scared the lungs and come back and find them?
I don't know. That's not what he's learning. According to the, maybe the other pshat, I don't know. That's what he's not learning. He's not learning that. He's learning she took it to get rid of love. She, once she takes it, she succeeds. Now, the problem, and now what do you do with it? So if you destroy it, you're being matched. So why is this gevaldik? Why is this gevaldik? Because we always said, I said this, I think I said this. This is the famous, what shmooze? No, what shmooze? Come on, you guys, I'm gonna not going to let you go get your smicha. What shmooze is this? This is the famous Amen Askein shmooze. Right? This is a shame. The Rashiva had a yesite. Very, very big yesite. The Rashiva had a yesite. He said that the most common psychological problem that people have, besides typhus, right? Typhus is one thing, but there's such a thing that people have of abnormal psychology. And not abnormal, normal psychology. Okay, Rashiva said, we don't deal with abnormal psychology. We only deal with normal psychology. But he said, but even within normal psychology, people act abnormal. Right? So he says the most common abnormal behavior, which is normal for normal people to have, is unbased fears. You have a person in stage fright. The guy's the world's greatest actor. He's been acting for years. All of a sudden, he's petrified. Maybe I'll forget my lines. Come on, have you ever forgotten your lines? Guy could be a Rosh Hashiva and he could have stage fright. Like, how can I give up and say the Pupusher? I'm going to say a shmooze, and maybe I'll forget my drasha. And then it becomes, you get so scared, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you get all flustered while I'm driving a car, and then all of a sudden, I've been driving for 20 years, and all of a sudden, I'm driving a highway. How do I know I'm going to be able to stay in the lanes? Well, excuse me, buddy, you've been staying in the lanes for the last 20 years, and you're getting nervous. And then, of course, you get into an accident, right? That's fears. Unlogical fears. People have fears that they can't go outside. People have fears, what's it called? Fears of going out of their neighborhood, right? There's people that can't walk out of their block. There's all kinds of fears. It's not as uncommon as you think. There's people that are afraid to go on an airplane. We had someone in the neighborhood here that didn't go to his daughter's wedding, or one of his kids' weddings, because he couldn't fly on the airplane. Right? So there's people fears. So he said, the Rashiva explained, how do these crazy fears come about? So he said, because what happens like this, or it could be a person has a fear that in religion, maybe, there was a guy in Yeshiva really told me this, maybe the Baba Sharebi really is a Mashiach. Okay? How do I know? He was being consumed by that suffix. When the Baal Shem was alive, so he's just being consumed by that suffix. Maybe he is. Maybe Yashka is, you know. So how do I know? So he says, how does what happens? He says, what happens is a guy gets a certain crazy fear pops in your head. And because you're such a tzaddik, and you don't even want to have a dakis of a fear, you don't want to have a dakas of fear. You don't have a dakas of a suffix. Maybe Yashka's right. So what do? So you work on it. Baharavanya, I'm going to slug that up. I'm going to grind it to the ground. I'm going to prove it wrong. And then what happens? Because you spend so much energy proving that Yashka's wrong, then you're machshavit. So now the suffix has become greater than it was before. Because by proving the fact that I had to work so hard to slug it up means that it's a real possibility. So then emotionally, you're more nervous. So what do? You're more nervous. Slug it up again. More slug up. And this goes on and on and on until you get to the point that you can't go on an airplane because you're petrified. You can't get up and be an actor because you're petrified. The fear keeps on growing. The more you slug it up, the more it gets greater. What you're supposed to do is when this little birdie on your head says, hey, how do you know that the Baal Shem is not the Mashiach? You say, because I know. Yeah. It's because it's stupid. How do I know Yashka is not the guy? Because it's stupid. Right? We'll see how stupid. We'll get to how why it's stupid. But it is stupid. Right? It's stupid. That's not fine. They're just brushing it away. I'm not even going to raise this possibility. Just don't bother me with stupidity. Don't tell me, I've been driving a car for 20 years, I never got into an accident. Don't tell me, maybe I'll get, I don't know how to, I'm going to go on my lane. Don't give me this Irish guy thought. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not registering the yeah, you have to do something to push away, but the way you do it, it's so stupid, we don't even think about it. We don't even give you credence. Maybe I'll forget my lines. Maybe the cow jumped over the moon. Maybe there's a sinkhole, right? Maybe there's a Martian here. You know, come on. You know what do you want? You know, you're crazy.
What do I mean by
slugging
it up? What source
could
that be?
You slug it up. No, you bring riots. I'll bring you a proof. I'll study the surveys and I'll look up how many times there were airplane crashes and 98.9 times there's no airplane. You know, you do it. You don't just quickly just brush it away. You mamish, spend, you invest energy to slug it up. By the way, you say it's stupid. It's just stupid, ridiculous, absurd. You know, go, any other stupid comments you got. Maybe you want to be, maybe I'm a Martian and I'm just putting out a, come on, you know, like... We don't worry about crazy, crazy things. It's just stupidity. It's just going to drive you crazy. It's not on the radio. And I don't have to slug it up. If a guy comes and tells you something really crazy, you don't have to slug it up. It's just, you ignore it, right? It's just so stupid, you just forget it. So, that's what Rashi said. That was trying to amenaz Cain. But it's beferish, I got a lot of hanah. Because it's a Beferish and Evan Ezra. The only thing why I'm thinking so much I know because I can't find the Evan Ezra. But I'm assuming it's there somewhere.
Once you slug it up, why would you ever start fearing it again?
Because you didn't. Because your point is, you can never, in life, you can never know something 100%. Right? There were some famous philosophers, I don't know who they were, that they were trying to prove that they exist and they're not dreaming. And at the end of the day, they just convinced themselves that they were dreaming because they couldn't slug it up. Can you prove to yourself that you really exist? Can you prove to yourself that I exist? Maybe you're dreaming me, right? Can you prove it? You can't prove, almost nothing can be proved because the world is such, when you get into your car, how do you know that someone didn't put a bomb in your car and when you turn on the motor, it's going to explode. I saw that I read that once, and you know, the mafia, they used to put bombs in the cars, and maybe some high school kid put a bomb in my car, right? You know, doesn't like the grade I gave him in the test. I don't know. How do I know? How do I know that there were people that were afraid to walk outside because there are germs? How do I know that there's not some dangerous germs lurking outside? How do I know there's not an Ariba Derech, right? So you don't really know. There's no way you can prove. How do I know there's not going to be a sinkhole, right? These sinkholes are gevaldic. I guess this, when you least expect it, you know. So how do you know? How do you know that when you step here, a sinkhole is not going to open up? There's no way you can. Maybe there'll be a tsunami, right? Can we know? And maybe there'll be a hurricane, and then maybe the building will collapse and. Someone just told me about that song that their house collapsed, that the cement on the house came down, the walls. My roofer, to make me feel good. He said, oh, there's someone has the same kind of house as you have. And all the cement came down. Okay, I assume it's relatively uncommon. I'm not worrying about it, right? You know, you don't worry about crazy. It happened. Of course, crazy things happen. But you don't worry about crazy things. So, but that's, you can't say that's 100%. So the problem is, Gufa, because you invest so much energy to slug it up, and there is a one with millions of a possibility left, so now psychologically that one millionth of a possibility takes on a real life of its own, becomes chashuv, and therefore it just keeps on going. Anyway, that's the first hashgava. First hashgava is gevaldik. Because Rashi used to say this all the time, that the way to fight fears is just not to be geiresim. Just say they're stupid and just forget about them. Not to make a big deal. not to go ahead and in other words. Okay. Anyway, and same thing fears in Amuna. Another, in a certain sense, if you need the proofs, okay, that's one thing. But if you don't need proofs, you don't need them. Okay. Then let's continue. Okay, then he says, same thing, you're not supposed to be mavdil on a near Shavuot HaTzar because you want to give it chashivas. Okay, that makes sense. The Meidim Anu, I skipped a paragraph. We learned from here. Now, it's not exactly the same. He made a little bit of a jump, but okay. The Meidim Anu be'ezet derech ishtapshu l'hapis avodah zara. Then how do they make the kiriv avodah zara? By not being machshavit. Be'ezet avodah zara shegubah shavah. Then what's the avodah zara today in people? Zewa yetzahara ha'chizno machshmei chashivis ha'hulkim ve'atam libo. They made ridicule the Eitzahara. Hokio and Rikosh with her. They pointed out the emptiness. In other words, he's saying that just like he's making a jump. If you see that you can't be Makshav, so he's making the step. Therefore, Adarabba, it's good to be Mevazet. And that's Pshat in Chazal, which Rashiva also quoted. That's the same Chazush Yalev. Yosef Shepitpe be Yitzro. Joseph went ahead. It's called Potio. Pinos Potio. It's Joseph. Joseph was given another name, Potio, because he was Pitbet B'Yitro. What does Pitbet mean? So Rashi says, Zilzo B'Yitro. Kopshash also, Velo Chashom. So Shiva goes on to Velo Chashom. But he goes on the word Zilzo. Zilzo means he ridiculed it. Kideiro Hakal Kibush HaYetzer. If you want to go ahead and succeed, make it easy to beat the Yetzirah. Sarah Perosh will be shining the Hafris of Sarah. You have to lower it. Udazalzobo. You ridicule it. You make fun of it. Legano to the Midrash. You say, oh, it's disgusting. Right? It's disgusting. Right? You ever hear an expression, chocolate covered Zoa? Right? That's what it is. It's disgusting. Lazo says, I cover it, I'm going to do this. This guy's a Meshuggah. He has to get up and speak. No matter, he always has to get up and speak. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He has nothing to say. He has to speak. Right? It's ridiculous. Stupidity. Guy spends $100,000 so that he can drive in a car because he can have a name brand. Get the exact same car, get the exact same shirt, the exact same suit without a name brand. Oh, but the name, they say here in Miami, people spend extra money so they can get the bag of Bell Harbor shops. So they can walk out of the store with a Bell Harbor bag, you know, Bell Harbor Mall. Oh, Chushev. I'm Chushev. I went shopping in Bell Harbor Mall. Hey, stupidity. You make fun of the person. You make fun of the covet. That's covet. Right, that guy made fun. That the guy that he spends more money on his car than his house, right? That's stupidity. The father of the Bawe Taiva, right? The guy that went ahead and said that he's so gavaldic he never missed a game, and he put that on his kever, right? That you make fun of these guys. The guy that sits and says, "Ooh, did I fress? You know how much I ate like a pig. Oh, that was such a gavaldic meal," right? You make fun of the guy, right? The vados. That's how you're supposed to do it. Shekei mitachpudas ha-yetzer u'liyavos ha-sarah. The tachpud yetzahara is to make beautiful the ra. U'litayas chaya o'ilam ha-zeh. The mof, and begav nishram, and mekosman. He makes it beautiful, right? So, there's a mitzvah to make fun of ra. So, I wanted to have a little fun. So first of all, this was a famous joke that I said many times that I saw it in a sefer. So even though it's, I don't know if it's a nice joke, not a nice joke, but I saw it in a sefer, so I'm allowed to say it. He said in the sefer that what is the mekor of April Fools? Coming up soon. What's the mekor on April Fools? It was in a sefer. It was a guy was a rav in Pittsburgh in around the early 1900s. And he wrote a sefer, Time Yam and Hagim, and this was the question he asked. It was in Hebrew. What's the Mekor of April Fool's? So he said, because Yashka, we know, was born on December 25th. He had his bris on January 1st. Says a woman is pregnant for 9 months. It's not 9 solar months, it's 9 lunar months. 9 lunar months are shorter than 9 solar months. So basically, it's a little bit less than 9 months. If you go back 9 months from the end of December, you basically get April 1st. So he says, what happened? Mary, he was apparently, it was Virgin Mary, right? She's a single girl. She's a tzaddikas. All of a sudden, she becomes pregnant. She asks her, Mary, what happened to you? I thought you were a tzaddikas. Oh, I'm very big tzaddik. You know what happened? God came to me and had relations with me, and I'm pregnant with God's baby. Right? Okay, you get it? So either there's two choices. Either Mary herself fell for that. Some guy knocked on the door and said, Mary, will you be Messiah with me? No, I'm righteous. But I'm God. Oh, okay. You know. So that's April Fool's, right? Or the people that she told that were dumb. I mean, but someone is like the dumbest person in the world. You fall for such a crazy thing. A woman is pregnant. A single woman is pregnant. She got pregnant because God came to her because she's so virtuous. You know, he said, that's April Fool. Like, but that's what he's saying here. That's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to make such wonderful jokes. So I have my secret marmakom. So, everyone excited? Secret marmakom. I took this out of Rabbi Nyman's office. Yeah. Now, this is a cheap bottle of wine. The yeshiva gave this out for Shalach Manas. It is not an expensive bottle of wine. It's Moscato, but okay, but it's a cheap brand. It's not the fancy, normal brand. Okay, I just want to read the label. Someone can explain this to me. Our 2016 Moscato is produced by wine stock sellers. Ooh, really cautious. Wine stock sellers. Especially to parallel today's casual lifestyle. Can anyone explain to me what that means? I have no idea what that means. They produce this especially to parallel today's casual lifestyle. Does that mean that they did this a haphazard job? And I have no idea what that means. What it means. Okay. This wine displays a heavily perfumed nose. With notes of white peach, apricots, and lychee. Now, what does that mean? I mean, when you smell white peach, apricots, and lychee. What did they put perfume in here? How did that happen? I thought they're just grapes. I don't know.
I'm not a connoisseur.
Juicy flavors of melon, peach, and honeysuckle explode on the palate. Right? There we get this. Got to get it clear. There's white peach, apricot, and lychee in the nose, and juicy flavors of melon, peach, and honeysuckle explode on the palate, followed by a crisp, refreshing finish.
I can test that for everybody.
Okay. We recommend that you share it with the food and the people you love. Okay. We recommend that you share it with the food and the people you love most. Okay, right. Food and the people you love. Okay. Anyway, right. This is my secret, Myron Markle. I have to put it back in Rabbi Nyman's office. But it's Litzanis. It is Litzanis, and this is typical. But it's good to make Litzanis. Right? I think it's fun, and it's enjoyable. But there are these Mishigoyim. You know, you ever go to a place where these people are into the wine connoisseurs? I mean, it's okay. You can make fun of them. You know, you have to spin it around the cup to see if it spins, and then you take a sip, and then you spit it out, and I don't know, and you, right? You have to have they spit out. You have to taste it a little bit. You taste it, and you spit it out, and then you, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's a guy, I told the guys that there was a guy we went to, a person in front, you know, I don't do fundraising, Baruch Hashem, but every so often, Rabbi, there's certain, you know, really chasha people. Chasha means that they have a lot of money. Right? So then I have to go along with. So this guy was showing off his apartment to us. So he showed us in his break front, he had two bottles of whiskey. He said, he told us that each of these bottles of whiskey, you can buy any house in North Miami Beach for one of these bottles. Because they were like, I don't know, 100 years old, you know, whatever, special, okay. And I heard he went ahead and he called his buddies over and they drank one. Right? Does that make sense? I mean, you think it was really good? 100-year bottle. I mean, okay, maybe. Ooh, it's so smooth. Oh, okay. I mean, I'm not saying it's not good, but you drink $200,000.
They just drink the house.
Yeah, like, that makes sense. Like, you know, what are you doing? You know. He also had some pictures on the wall that didn't even look nice. We also saw that they would be more expensive than any house in, because they were from the Renaissance or whatever. So, okay, anyway. So the mice said that's it. You got to make fun of the mishigas of the world. That's what Rav Zuckerman is saying. It's a very beautiful thing. You got to make fun, because the truth is there is what to make fun of them. They are. It's a little silly. The people are so crazy into their taivas, and they're crazy into some things. And we somehow end up falling for it. We begin to believe it, you know, because that's human nature. When someone else tells, you know, the big lie, you hear the lie enough times, you end up believing it yourself. So the defense that he's saying is that, like, care, you ridicule them. You make a joke out of it. You say how stupid they are. They're crazy. They're nutso. And that at least helps. It's like, Musar bispaitis, that it shouldn't affect you. Okay, that's what Rav Zaychik says. Rishiva the Tzau, very interesting, has almost the same exact shmooth, except that he goes on the word velo chashvo, slightly different. In other words, the question he wants to know is here, with the Rishiva is a little bit with the Koyach HaTzir, that Eishes Potiphar had this most difficult nisayin that Yosef had, right? She's mamish enticing him, and she's doing everything to entice him, and with the priestistic address and everything, and threatening his life, and who knows what. And it's day after day for almost like a year, probably, and I don't know how long, but I think it was like a year, and you know, and Yosef was, it says in the Chazal, he was 17, and that's like the hardest age, so. It's like, the question is, how did Yosef actually succeed? So the Pasuk is Medayik from the Lashon of the Pasuk, Zilzal b'Yetzer v'lo chashvo. So Rashiv explained, shot in the second half, v'lo chashvo. Here, so if you look in the last paragraph, U'be'emes v'ichim o'er l'hovim, we need to understand, b'eze tachbura niflo hishtamesh yoytid en atzeh es yitro. We know it's Asmum and Aftum. Well, how did he do it? So we would say, oh, he had tremendous Yiras Shamayim. But that's not the mashmaos of the pasuk, because that's not called Zilzal b'Yitro v'lo chashvo. That means he was chashvo and he fought against it, a counterforce. B'nei v'eino es ha'gemara she'yosef pita b'Yitro. Pirish Rashi, Zilzal b'karshato v'lo chashvo. V'abiru, lo she'yosef nilchum likvot es Yitro, l'achriyas abdun alechta. He didn't say Yosef fought. Because fighting, in a certain sense, is not good. First of all, when you fight, you can always stand the chance to lose, because you're fighting a strong enemy. But besides which, Rabbi Nyman was very big on this. Rabbi Nyman was a world expert, or a senior, on tape recorders. Right? Everyone knows Rabbi Nyman was Mr. Tape Recorders. So he used to, you know, very often he would have a tape recorder and he would turn it on and off, you know, he would tape something and stop. He having a shear. The tape recorder would go, he would turn it on, turn it off. So on every tape recorder, you guys don't, I don't know, you don't know what, I don't know, you don't need tape recorders anymore because you have a phone, you know. But a tape recorder, there used to be a microphone, and on the microphone there was a switch on and off to you know, turn on the mic, turn it off. So Rabbi Naim was very machmir, you do not use the on-off button on the microphone. He says, when you want to stop the tape recorder, you turn off the tape recorder. You want to turn it back on, you turn it back on, which is much more work because you had to turn it on, and there was you have two buttons at once, play and record at the same time. I don't know. Why did you have to, why? Because he said, when you turn off the microphone, shot is the motor is still going. The tape recorder is on. And you're just turning off the microphone. So it's like you're having one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. So even though the brake will stop the car from going, but at some point you're going to break your brake because it's a fight. So when you have a fight, eventually you lose you crack. Person can't, even, what was that guy's name that holding the earth? What was that guy's name?
Atlas.
Atlas. So even at one point, it probably gets heavy, you know? He looks like it's heavy on him, no? It looks like he's having a hard time. So if you hold, I know myself, one of my children was a crack, colicky. Colicky means they have nonstop crying. You pick up a baby, they weigh nothing, you know, 10 pounds. If after 3 hours of holding a colicky baby, your arms are falling off because it gets, even though it's an easy Nisayan. So fighting a Nisayan is not good if you don't have to, because eventually you crack. You can't keep on fighting day after day after day after day after day after day. And she was fighting him day after day. So it gets on your nerves. At some point, your muscles need a break. So he says, Yosef didn't fight him. And a Pirzusha Zilzum. The Yitro, but Al Chosh Vaklau. Kloimer, who bit to as the Chifas Eitzahara. He was Mevato, the force of the Eitzahara. He pulled the plug on the Eitzahara. He didn't fight the Eitzahara. He pulled the plug so that there's no Eitzahara to fight. Because the Eitzahara needs a plug in. He take out the plug, there's nothing to fight. How did he do that? So he says it's slightly different than Rav Zaitchik because he's on the second half. All taiva is imagination, basically. There's in most averis, the pleasure, it lasts about 30 seconds. You have a delicious piece of food, and you're on a diet. You say, I shouldn't eat it. How long does the pleasure last if you're eating it? It's a delicious piece of cake. So it takes 1 minute to eat a piece of cake. That's it. It's over. How long does it take to be mezana? 1 minute, and you're over. Most taivas, the whole thing lasts a minute, and then it's gone. So it's 1 minute, so it's 60 seconds at best, and then it's over. So that's no great pleasure. Kimat ein shem hana, and beside which, and the cake doesn't even taste so good, right? That's what we always say. It looks much better than it tastes. The whole force of the Yetzirah is the Yetzirah causes the imagination to make the person fool him, to make him think that if he gives into this taiva, he'll be walking in bliss. He'll be walking on clouds. Life's going to be terrific. Everything's wonderful. Which is, of course, the opposite of truth, because he'll be walking on depression. Right, because he'll be upset with himself. Yosef had it. Yosef was lo chashva. Right, lo chashva means he heard that the Yetzara ain't offering me anything. It's not real. It's a mirage. There's no great pleasure. Boshamru Chazal, Isha, the truth is this is more like Zilzo. I don't know why I got in here. Isha Chamas Malaya Soa. See, the chocolate covers up. A woman is a walking barrel of Soa. Upei Malay Damage. She's full of blood. Takol runs, and nonetheless, everyone runs after her. There's really nothing there. Right? So Rav Shiva is saying a little different. Zaychik says you got to make fun of it. Rav Shiva says you just got to recognize the truth that there's nothing to it. There's a famous Navaradic mashal, which Rav Shiva said, very famous mashal. I don't know if you people know your Navaradic mashal. So, that there was a guy walking on Shabbos, and he sees lots of money on the floor. Very tempting. $1 million, I know, $10,000. Lots of money. It's hefker on the floor. If you don't take it, someone else is going to take it. Right? Except there's a little bit of problem. It's muksa, it's rishus harabim, you can't carry. He says the guy in 1 minute comes up with the most brilliant heterim, why it's mutter. Essay doichelosa, say I'm going to give some of it to Stucker. I'll move it with my foot. Pachos, pachos, me down with Amis. He says a whole pilpush here. It's only a derabbanan because it's not a real rishus harabim, and it's shvus to shvus, but makal mitzvah. I'm going to give Stucker. He said the guy in 1 second will come up with the most brilliant shear, why it's mutter. He says, all of a sudden, while he's about to paskin his mutter, his kid jumps out of the bush and says, ah, we fooled you. Monopoly money. Ah, I bought it in the toy store. You know, fake money. Ah, you fell for it. Ah, you know. And then he says, then you ask the guy, is the mutter to carry it on Shabbos? What's he going to say? Of course not. He says, once you know it's monopoly money, there's no... of all the rationalizations disappear. Of course you can't carry it on Shabbos. So the Alter Navaradik said that to fight most Yetzirahs, you don't need Yiras Shamayim, contrary to popular belief. All you need is to dehir Seichel to figure out that it's monopoly money. If you dehir it's monopoly money, there's no Yetzirah. There's nothing to fight. Why would you do it? Even if I don't have a, even if it's not shot, well, I'm not gonna, why would I bother carrying it? Nothing to it. So especially when it says, I mean, okay, you have to maybe need a little bit of a Yiras Shamayim, but you don't need, that's what the Alter Navaradik said, that for most things, you don't need great Yiras Shamayim. You just need great Seichel. If you can figure out that in most Yetzirahs are monopoly money, just maybe you have there's no fight. So that's the Rashiva. So the Rashiva is saying, see, it's very interesting that the Rashi says, Zilzul b'yitro v'lo chashro. Says two things. Kovash also, I'm not sure. They're learning that just Mameda. I don't know how. Maybe that's the third thing. I don't know. But the Zaychik is focusing on the Zilzul b'yitro, that he made it sunnis out of it. He made it sunnis. You know? He made some wisecracks. He probably said the chocolate covered soa line. You know, that's the... you know, that's the bizui, you know. There's this chocolate-covered soa that wants him starting up with me, you know. It's this Martian from outer space, you know, whatever. So that's what the Zaychik says. And Rav Shiva just said, this is stupidity. She's asking me to give up my whole ruchnias, to give up my kedusha, for what? What's she offering me? You know, she's not offering me anything. She's offering me, you know, a 1 minute pleasure, a 60 second pleasure. You know, and I'm not so stupid. You know, why in the world would I even consider such a thing? You know, and then I'm going to be depressed, and I'm going to be, and I'll be walking around for the next week unhappy. So I'll have a week of unhappiness for a minute of pleasure. Like, just don't make sense. It's not logical. Forget about that I'm giving up Eidam Haba and Kedusha and to be one of the Shiftei Kah. It's just not logical. You know, I'm going to, the depression and the regret will way far outweigh the pleasure. Pleasure lasts a half a minute, and the depression lasts a week or a month or a year. So why would I do such a thing? It's ridiculous. So I got to be nuts to do that. Anyway, I think that those are very big insight. So there's these two different ways that we fight the Yetzirah. We fight the Yetzirah with Chashro. That's what Rav Shiva's insight. And Rav Zaychik's insight is we do it with the Zilzul. Okay.